I cannot judge God, and there is no other. Then you have reached that level in which you not only know no man henceforth after the flesh, but you no longer know yourself to be that good and that evil flesh. You recognize yourself to be the invisible spiritual flesh of the Father. God is my substance. God is my being. God is my spiritual selfhood. God the Father is God the Son. So now we're in identity. We identify not as the individual capable of looking out upon the world with criticism. We identify as God the Son, the living offspring of the living God. And there's no place where the eye can rest that the presence of God can be denied. No matter how scarlet the individual who faces you, in your consciousness, you must learn to make him white as snow. This is the discipline of the inner Christ. Now, because your beliefs become the outer conditions, your belief in the omnipresence of virtue, the omnipresence of truth, the omnipresence of harmony, the omnipresence of perfection in all things, is the purity of your own consciousness, which will now be manifest as the treasures of the kingdom released. This is how you come into not the finite, limited world in time, but the fullness of the Godhead. All that appears before you is the imitation of the invisible spirit. It comes to you equally invisible as thought waves of a cosmic mind. And unless those thought waves of the cosmic mind have a receiver in you, they cannot form before you as the evils of this world. They cannot come to you as the problems of this world, or the diseases of this world, or the sufferings and pains of this world. And because they are not of God, when you know this, you can face all of these invisible cosmic ideas, knowing that when you see forms, you are not seeing forms. You are seeing invisible cosmic ideas made manifest. And therefore, they have no divine power, no divine ordination. What are they? They are not the divine image. Where are they? They are not out there. They are in the cosmic mind. They are televised to the individual mind. And if that individual mind, which is you, refuses to accept the reality of them, then you are sowing to the spirit and you will dissolve that which is unreal. You will not remove the condition per se, but rather you will overcome the belief in the condition, and the condition will not disturb you. Now underline that. The condition is not to be removed. It is the false lure. It is the image that is not there. It is only there as an image because you are here as an image. And in the vacuum, as you let divine mind function through you, it will destroy for you the false images of the cosmic mind. So we're talking about freedom in a different sense than the world knows it. We're talking about true freedom. Freedom from cosmic images, freedom from individual images, freedom from everything that is not of God. Freedom in Christ, in truth. Now, we were born of the water. Some were even baptized in the water. But now, in the rebirth of the Spirit, we are baptized by the Spirit. And this is the difference between the dead and the quick. The dead, the images of the cosmic mind who walk the earth as flesh. We are moving out of this, becoming separate, becoming the quick, baptized by the inner Spirit, accepting the allness of God must include my being. And in this acceptance, as we begin to feel the truth, we are letting God know the truth through us. Then we will know the truth, because God must be the knower in us. We cannot mentally know the truth that will make us free, any more than we can do something about conditions. But we can let the Father within know the truth in us. And that truth is that I, in the midst of you, am the living Spirit of God. I am too pure to behold iniquity. I am the light, and in me is no darkness at all. I am your eternal self, and I am no less your eternal self now than I will be 500 years from now. Accept me now. Here, in you now, is the Christ. Unlock the Christ by releasing yourself from mortal belief. And now, as you dwell in the truth of your being, you find the great power which permits you to look at all the forms in the world and say, these are cosmic thought forms. Cosmic images appearing out there because cosmic thought has come through and has touched another cosmic image which receives that cosmic thought. And this is how the pyramid of cosmic images continues. Erase the belief in these cosmic thought forms, and you find the glass darkly has no power over you. All flesh that you see is not God's creation. All the material world that you see, all of the things that you see, all of the forms that you see, whether they are the beautiful stars or an ugly, muddy little stream, are not God's creation, but are the cosmic images of a cosmic mind. An imitation of that which stands before you, pure, eternal, infinite, and perfect, but invisible to the naked eye. Now, our faith in this unseen universe of perfection is another way of believing in the allness of God. We're no longer interested in the words, in the conversations, in the concepts. We're interested in the experience of God where we stand, in the presence of God living itself as us. And the only way God can live itself as us is when we have purified ourselves of the belief that out here the changing images are real, that the good and the bad were placed there by some divine providence. And finally, you know there is nothing in this world for you ever to fear, except the unrealities that you accept in the false belief that God is not present. As the experience of God's presence rises in you, so does the fear of the things of this world diminish in you. Always the presence realized is the release from the fear, the hate, the doubt, the uncertainty, the pain, the suffering. For in the presence of the Spirit of the Father, there is liberty in all things. We have that power to bring that liberty by virtue of our fidelity to our own substance and to that substance in everyone we see. That doesn't mean that we have to run up and kiss everybody, throw an arm around them and say, I love you. It means that we respect the spiritual identity of those we see. We speak to their spiritual identity. We do not react to their physical identity. We do not accept them as biologic creatures. A rose is a rose is a rose. The flesh is the flesh is the flesh. As we applied it in nature, we apply it to man. Name it and forget it. All that is there is an image. But behind that image is divine consciousness appearing to you as an image called form. Consciousness is all that can ever be there, because God's Spirit is consciousness, and consciousness is ever present. Infinite, the only reality that is there. That consciousness standing before you is pure, regardless of the image that appears. And having conquered the belief in the image, you are now walking in the kingdom of God on earth. You are letting the cosmic images that are localized as form not enter to defile your pure consciousness. And that is the way you bless. That is the way you love. That is the way you forgive. That is the way you lift the eye of others who come to you. Now you see how total this new consciousness must be. And it is not going to be done out of a chapter or out of a lecture. It's going to be done because something in you says, this is the way I intend to live. Because something in you says, this is my divine sequence now. I'm moving in the rhythm of the Father. And only His will in my consciousness will be my consciousness. Now, I think there's a tendency in us to really wait for God to come along to fix something up. We all have the belief that if I can just get still enough, God coming through will remove the condition. Now, that's a little better than praying to God up in the sky. But you see, you're still accepting the condition. Now you say, well, what can I do? That's what I see, that's what I know, that's what I feel. I've got to accept it. No, you don't. If you do, you're still working on a mental level. You're not in spiritual living or in spiritual healing. And you're not in God. In other words, There must come the place where I and the Father are one is your consciousness, and where you let go of what the human mind knows to be true. It knows that my daughter has this problem. But God doesn't know your daughter has this problem, or else God would have removed it. And what God doesn't know, you cannot possibly know. Therefore, God not knowing your daughter has this problem really means that she doesn't have it. Everything you call a problem is your belief in a life apart from God. Now then, that's where the bottleneck would be. How can I drop my belief that I have the problem if that's what I feel, if that's what I see? But isn't that the subject of the chapter? Do not know yourself after the flesh? Why do you want to limit yourself to what your mind knows and sees and feels, when we have learned that the human mind is not God's creation? There is no human mind. There is the one infinite mind, which is the only mind, and it only knows its infinite self. Therefore, why limit yourself to your individual limited concepts? And so, we finally are touched by the ability to say, Father, I see this girl's problem, but I do not accept it as being real. Because I know if it were real, you would have removed it long ago. That it cannot be real, it is not of you, I am not accepting the condition. I know the condition is only belief appearing outwardly. Now, what am I going to do about that belief? That's the next question. So I cannot be a chain in the complete world reaction of belief. I must come forth and be separate. Let's see how Paul puts that, so we see how we're to step out of the belief. Now that's in 2 Corinthians, I think. The 6th chapter. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Touch not the unclean thing means do not accept it in your consciousness. Now you've got to do that. There'll come a time when you yourself must do that, and there's no one else to rely upon. Accept not means touch not the unclean thing. There is nothing unclean in God, and God is all. Now, if you persist in believing, there's a condition to be removed. This chapter is going over your head. If you see that this is to change your consciousness, will you come forth and become separate from those who believe there is such a condition? Then you are the student of the Christ. And now, my eyes tell me there is such a condition, but God tells me there is no such condition. Shall I serve my eyes for the statement of God that all is perfect in my universe? Shall I serve God or mammon? Shall I linger in the belief that there is a life called my daughter that is separate from God's life? If I'm learning to accept that I and the Father are one, why can't I accept that the Father and my daughter are one? Why can't I see that the eye of me is the eye of my daughter and it is one with the Father? I must be lifted up then to the realization that the separation between people is only a separation between the images of the mind. Yes, we are separated as images, but we are not those images. We are the one spirit. I and my Father are the one spirit. This must be your slogan, your creed, your belief, your song, your conviction. And if I and my Father are never separated but one, then I am one with all who are one with the Father everywhere, and there is only one infinite self to which I can be faithful. That is my belief. And therefore I am under the law of that infinite self. And everyone I know is under the law of that infinite self. I will not sow to the visible image called person. It may be sick because it accepts itself as image. I accept it as the divine image, never born, never dying, never sick. And I can make no exception. Do you see how we must hold a line of truth within ourselves, or else we too are separated from the very spirit we are trying to walk with? Come forth and be separate from the world that believes that that image over there is separate from God. And no, it is not a physical image. It is the invisible divine image. And then rest in the Word. Look all the way over to the 46th Psalm and you'll see why you must rest in the Word. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. Might as well have said, my daughter has a skin rash, or my uncle has cancer. The heathens raged. The kingdoms were moved. But what happened? He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The earth is the false cosmic images around you. The earth melted. In other words, the illusions of suffering, pain, agony, malignancy, died. The moment that the voice uttered itself. Now, where does that voice utter itself except in you? And we know it cannot utter itself in us unless we have purified ourselves of the belief that there is anything on this earth that is not the Spirit of God. We know there is no evil. We know that no condition can be evil. We know that all is spirit. And in that purity, the voice utters itself in you and melts the conditions that appear. Now that's the part you play in bearing witness to the omnipresent Spirit of God. You cease having daughters. You cease having husbands and wives. You cease having friends. You witness the Christ everywhere, and the Christ is not your daughter. The Christ is not your mother. The Christ is not your husband or wife. You are sowing not after the flesh. Of course it's different from the way the world walks. That's why we're learning how to stand forth and become separate. You won't love your wife less. This increases your capacity to love through the omnipresent love of the Father. Now the veil is cast in this way. In the 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, 12th verse, Paul tells us that we look at things as people look at things, instead of as spirit does. It's a passage of glass darkly, which I don't seem to be able to find. But we see through a glass darkly. Now this glass is the conditioned cosmic mind which becomes our conditioned individual mind. And it's that conditioned individual mind which, in spite of all the teaching, insists that beside spirit there is my daughter, beside spirit there is my husband, beside spirit there is my friend, my dog. And because it insists that there are these forms beside spirit, it then finds it cannot be still. It cannot be quiet enough for the voice to speak that will melt the problems of these forms that we perpetuate in the conditioned mind. Until you accept truth, you'll find the mind is running around. It won't be still. The stillness only comes after the acceptance of truth. Now, I know that any mind that accepts all there is God's spirit will be able to be still. But without that acceptance, with all the ands, ifs, buts, and all the legal little phrases that follow in small print, these are the human fears and doubts. No wonder we cannot be still. We will not accept the Father because we still have a mind that says, but what about this and that? And there is no this and that. There's only the Father. And every time the mind refuses to be still, it is because it thinks there is still a this and a that. It even thinks there is a human mind that has the right or power to not be still or to be still. And there isn't. There is only the one infinite mind. Now your capacity then to remain still is based not only upon your capacity to be still when you meditate, but that brings up a far greater problem. We have divided living and meditating into two different parts. I'm going to live this way, and in that living I will also have some meditation. It's as if somebody were a spiritual healer who will live one way and then go into another personality to be a spiritual healer. And we ultimately find that living and healing are one and the same. You have to live in the spirit, and that is the healing consciousness. You don't change hats. If you're not living that way, you don't find the ability to go into that silence which melts this world. And so we are all spiritual healers. We all live in the spirit. And the spirit, it doeth the works. Now, if you're not living in the spirit, how can you meditate? If you're still accepting the flesh, how can you meditate? Meditation is honoring the invisible spirit. Would you try to stop a jet plane in flight just by whistling? You must be living that way, day in and day out. Your way is living in the spirit, the acceptance that every patient, every friend, every person, every material form is the spirit. And then you'll find the secret of meditation is that you do not meditate. The spirit does all the meditating. The spirit in you is the meditator. The spirit in you is the silent self. When you found the depth of being everywhere, that spirit is in permanent meditation. God is a silent God. God is resting in the Word. Also in 2 Corinthians is this passage about the illusion of form. Now this is the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians, starting at the 16th verse. And this is the title of this chapter. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Meaning, we have worshipped Jesus as a man. And you can see the translator having his trouble with this. We have worshipped Jesus as a man. But that is not true Christianity. When Christianity and all religions rise up to the place where they free their congregations from the cosmic mind, which is the veil that separates us from the truth, then religion will be that which it is supposed to be. When it recognizes this is the task, to melt, to dissolve the belief that evil is on this earth. We have worshipped a Jesus as a person, but now we know no Jesus after the flesh. And so Jesus, whom we worshipped after the flesh, departs and says, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. If I go not away, you will continue to see me after the flesh instead of to know that I am spirit incarnate. And that spirit incarnate in you is the very self-same Christ that Paul says we will now worship instead of the flesh. As you take this to heart, as you catch the feeling of the cosmic thought waves that become this outer universe, only because you have not been in the Christ Spirit, you find the voice that melts those cosmic thought waves. Now, I could talk for another 5 hours on how to be silent when you meditate. But it wouldn't help you be silent when you meditate until you have crossed out the belief that there is one real physical form on this earth. As you practice, you will find that the thing you have missed in much of your meditations is that you haven't given enough time to silent contemplation. It's all been, I'll close my eyes and wait for God to do something. But there must be more time given to contemplation in the silence, where you rest, and you're not trying to meditate at all. You're trying to commune with the Spirit. You're trying to come into a place where you can take a thought. Take a thought, for instance, that we had today. This world is composed of cosmic thought waves. Now, most of us have never heard that before. And if you appeared next week without having contemplated it, you would really be no further along than you are this moment. But if you contemplate it, you will discover that in the contemplation, something takes root. Something begins to bubble up. And before you know it, there is a quickening process taking place in you, and it lifts you right into the silence of meditation without the slightest effort on your part. You're dissolved into the one infinite self. All because you are working with this idea that cosmic thought waves constitute the visible world that we see. You dwell with that a while. You contemplate it. You mull it over. You ponder it. as Mary did in her heart. And finally, in this contemplation, the roots of you are being dug deeper and deeper. You see, this is the preparation of the soil. This is what takes place before the silence of meditation. Most of us haven't plumbed the soil enough, and when we go into meditation, we're rather barren. I made a note today, and I'm glad this question came up, to remind you that there must be more periods of silent contemplation. For in that contemplation, you suddenly find that another mind takes over for you. You're not in your mind at all. And when you're not in your mind, even though you didn't plan it that way, you're really in meditation. That's where the voice comes to melt the world of problems around us. Now, it would seem that we've covered the next chapter, but I'm quite sure that a whole new flood of ideas will come to us about this is a spiritual universe. The progression is very clear. It is a slow, constant erosion of the belief in a material world. The end of judgments and criticisms, and the realization that God will never come to remove the bad conditions that beset us because they are merely hypnosis. Now, when I tell you not to remove the condition but to remove the belief, it is because Spirit gave it to me just that way. In the Bible, it might read, resist not evil. Take no thought for your life. Agree with thine adversary. Turn the other cheek. Putting it in practical, simple 20th century English, it says that if you come above the belief in evil, you are free of that evil, and it cannot externalize in your life. Ice is nothing but water frozen. Outer conditions are nothing but beliefs frozen to appear visible. The belief and the condition are one and the same. One is invisible and one is visible. Remove the invisible belief and the visible condition will vanish. And there are no exceptions. Now, the capacity to remove that belief is where you should dedicate your effort, your time, your thought, your contemplation, until one by one, the beliefs that you entertain about a physical world are overcome. You have much precedent for that throughout the so-called miracles of the Master in the Bible. He had no belief in a material world, and this spiritual knowledge translated outwardly as even better, good, harmonious matter. Because he brought forth the activity of the divine image where only a mental human image had appeared. Now, this is our collective and individual job. Practice, please, the silence, letting all cosmic thought waves come across your face, going by and through you with no reaction. You'll find you're able to move in the outer world with your eyes open, even knowing this is the truth of everything you see. Even an atom bomb is nothing but cosmic thought waves. Nothing of a material nature is anything but cosmic thought waves made visible and tangible. There's a story about an Indian who spent 6 years just in the quiet solitude of contemplation until he could come out and then face a firing squad and know the bullets couldn't touch him. And there wasn't a single bullet, according to this particular writer, that could touch this man. He knew the non-reality of matter. And this was his dominion over matter. I must say, I didn't verify it or know how to, but you'll find it in one of the books. I think it was Masters of the Far East. Now, these men are communicating to us vital truths. But that's all they can do. The voice in you must be your power, and you must prepare a way through the purity of your thought, the acceptance of only that which is true. You'll find that voice, that living quality of God in you, does go before you in every way. I'd like you to apply some of these things to your daily problems with the realization that you don't get rid of the problem, you overcome the belief that the problem exists. And then you will find you have a new weapon, which was ordained by the Spirit. We'll just have a moment of silence now. When I meditated on this cosmic thought waves, I found a great joy creeping up inside me, as if something grand and new and wonderful had been discovered. I believe some of you may feel that as you try it. I think it's the beginning of a new level of consciousness in a way that at the moment each of us will have to describe within himself. Thanks again. Pleasant afternoon to you all.